Magna Carta was one of the most important documents in English history and has an enduring influence today. It was issued by King John at Runnymede on the 15th of June 1215, and it was intended to place a whole series of wide-ranging restrictions on the nature of English kingship. There were a number of clauses which really got to grips with the problems that had arisen in England under King John and his predecessors, the Angevin kings. So Clause 1 of the Great Charter, for example, attempted to ensure that the English Church would enjoy its rights and liberties to the full, and it also granted them free elections. There were also other important clauses of direct relevance to the English baronage. Clause 2, for example, attempted to impose a limit on the size of inheritance tax, or reliefs as they were known, for earls and barons. It attempted to ensure that henceforth they would be charged no more than £100 to succeed to their family estates. And Clause 3 attempted to ensure that the heirs of earls and barons who had been children when their parents had died would not be charged inheritance taxes had they been in wardship prior to that. There are also a series of important clauses that protected the property rights of widows and attempted to ensure that they would not be forced to remarry. So these were clauses 7 and 8 of the 1215 Charter. These were included because under King John and earlier English kings, very often widows had had to pay the king large sums of money to enter lands to which they were theoretically automatically entitled. In addition to this, King John and earlier English kings had sold off the rights to their remarriages. And when widows had refused to marry the king's own candidate for their marriage, or their own candidate as a husband, what had happened was quite often that the king had seized their goods and estates. So the widows would have been faced with nothing to support themselves, and so very often this persuaded them to change their minds. And there was a very famous example of a woman to whom this happened, and this was Hawise, the Countess of Omar. On the death of her first husband in the reign of King Richard I, Hawise had had to face the prospect of a new husband. King Richard wanted her to marry one of his Poitevin military commanders, William de Fors, a man of much lower birth than Hawise. When Hawise refused to accept de Fors's suit, King Richard had ordered that her lands and goods should be seized. Faced with nothing to support herself, Hawise had decided quite wisely to marry William de Fors after all. And there are also other examples of cases where this happened during John's reign. So the Lincolnshire widow, Alice, whose husband John Bellett died early in King John's reign, was paid court to by a man called Ralph Riddle, who'd paid a considerable sum of money for her hand. Ralph Riddle wanted to marry Alice. Alice did not want to marry John Riddle, so the king seized her lands and goods. This forced Alice to turn to her father, Fulk de Oiry, who had basically been forced to bail out his daughter and offer King John a very large sum of money so that his daughter could remain single and enjoy in peace her estates as a widow. Now, as well as these causes then that addressed the interests of barons, inheritance tax and widows, there were also other clauses which attempted to limit the king's financial exactions on his highest subjects. So Clause 12, for example, attempted to ensure that no scutage or aid would be levied in England without the common consent of the realm. This was because, under King John, scutages and aids had been exploited to the full by the king as a potential source of income and had actually become very burdensome and unpopular.